Chapter 7 Kamikaze 8th May, 2088 Instead of a regular diary entry, I'm going to put in part of a transcript of the meeting we just had. Namir suggested it would be a good time, starting the second week, for all the humans and Martians to get together and record a consensus of what we think we're headed for. We met at 0900 in the Compromise Lounge, at the entrance to the Martian area. Part of it became a little dramatic. My husband would have said, annoying. Namir. My proposal was that we record a kind of baseline report on what we expect to happen when we arrive at Wolf 25. Our ideas will change over the next 6 years, naturally. Paul. One possibility is that there will be nothing there. The one on Triton said that's where they live, and took off in that direction. But we lost track of him after a few minutes. He could have gone anywhere.
Snowbird. Why would they do that?
Paul. They may have misrepresented their strength, or rather their vulnerability. If we were to attack swiftly, they might not be able to react in time.
Namir.
Possibly. Doesn't seem likely. We have ample evidence of their strength.
Me. They had hundreds of centuries to plan ahead.
Paul. That's what I mean. They don't want to confront us in real time.
Flying Amber.
They have planned ahead for this. We will not surprise them.
Elza.
We have to try.
Dustin. I'm not convinced that that is true, as you know, Elza.
Elza.
Pacifist swine.
Note, said smiling.
Explain, for the record.
Dustin. This mission is predicated on two things. One, that they know they did not destroy us, and two, that they care. But we know almost nothing about their psychology. Maybe they are so confident they won't bother to check, in which case showing up on their doorstep may be a disaster. Or they might know they didn't destroy us, but feel the spectacular demonstration was enough to keep us out of their hair. So again, don't go bother them.
Namir.
Dustin, even if the mission is a mistake, we can't turn around and go home. The die is cast.
Me.
It's still a good viewpoint to put in the mix, trying to predict what they're going to do.
Paul, let's get a sense of the timing. From the Earth's point of view, the Other left Triton in July of 2079. At its rate of acceleration, it will take only about 24.5 years to get there, assuming it decelerates at the same rate. Say it gets there in January 2104. In the worst-case scenario, they find out the Earth hasn't been destroyed and turn around to finish the job, which they do in the middle of 2128.
Namir.
That's not the worst case.
Paul. What is?
Namir. You assume that the Others have to obey the same speed limit as we do. Suppose they can go a lot faster than the speed of light and are due here tomorrow.
Paul.
Relativity won't let them. They'd be traveling into the past.
Namir.
Laughs.
And show up tomorrow. They've done other impossible things.
Namir and Paul argue fruitlessly for a few minutes. Never argue science with a lawyer, I told Paul.
Merrill.
Let's assume there's no magic super science involved, all right?
She looks at her notebook.
If they go straight to Wolf 25, they'll get there around 2104, by the Earth calendar. We won't be there until 8 years later, and they'll have our ready or not, here we come message months before that, which I was so enthusiastic about. Can we agree that the probability they won't be ready for us is almost exactly zero?
General agreement.
And at any rate, if we did surprise them, there's not much we can do about it. Short of using the Ad Astra as a huge kamikaze bomb?
Snowbird.
What is that?
Flying Amber.
It's a Japanese word meaning a suicide airplane.
Snowbird.
Oh. Well, that would make sense, wouldn't it? We're expecting to die anyhow.
Fly in amber. Most humans won't do that. Not if they have a chance of living.
Snowbird. But they don't live that long anyhow.
Namir. I'm glad you brought that up, Snowbird. We ought to consider it. Elza. I'm not sure I can. We would be murdering a whole planet besides ourselves.
Meryl.
That's right.
Namir. Which is what they tried to do to us.
Dustin. He wants you to think like a soldier, love, not a doctor.
Moonboy. What if we had to do it to save the human race? What if we got a message like, fuck you and the planet you came from?
Paul.
We never could save the human race if they decided to destroy it. We could never catch them. We could only take revenge after the fact.
Namir.
I could do that.
Dustin. You would. Definitely.
Moonboy.
I would too.
It's not as if they were human.
Me.
Namir, it would be like Gehenna. There could be innocent races on that planet. For all we know, the one who attacked us was a lone lunatic, who claimed to represent the others but actually did not.
Namir.
With due respect, Carmen, I have been there, and you have not. Genocide is not murder. You can forgive a murder and go on with life. But if we had found a country responsible for Gehenna, we would have had no mercy. We would have leveled it in retribution, which is not the same thing as revenge.
There was a long silence.
Paul. The kamikaze thing is not going to happen. I'm the only one who could do that, and I won't. Besides, if our intent had been to launch a huge relativistic bomb, there would be no need for a crew. One kamikaze pilot, perhaps.
Dustin.
Laughs.
Now, that does make me nervous. You would need a crew, if only to keep that pilot from going mad during 6 years of isolation. But of course the crew wouldn't know they were all going to die.
Paul. Are you a philosopher or story writer?
Dustin. Sometimes the difference is moot. Are you lying?
Don't answer. We covered that one in freshman logic.
Fly in amber. Are you two joking? Sometimes it's hard to tell when humans are serious.
Dustin.
Sometimes jokes are serious, Fly in amber.
Paul.
Not this time. He's just playing games.
Dustin.
One of us is.
Snowbird.
This is making my brain hurt. I have to leave.
So, everyone laughed and talked Snowbird into staying, promising that they would keep things straight. And the rest of it was pretty much a recital of what we already knew. But no one here knows Paul as well as I do, and I know he has a deep reserve of seriousness, which sometimes frightens me. I'm a little frightened now. A few days ago, out of the blue, before we went to sleep, he suggested that Namir, and perhaps the other two, were under orders to kill the rest of us if we tried to surrender, and use the Ad Astra as a kind of 9/11 on the others. But a starship isn't a jet plane. They wouldn't know how to do it. There's only one person here who does.